Hey, Amanda. So what's the deal with Labor Day?
What do you mean by that?
I mean, like, isn't the whole idea that we're supposed to be celebrating the workforce, like, by not working?
Yeah. So? I guess I'm not really tracking what you're putting down here.
Okay, but then why is every store and every restaurant known to man open on the day we're supposed to be relaxing, like, as a country? It doesn't make any sense. Shouldn't we be all at some massive backyard barbecue together, eating ribs and drinking beer?
I mean, you do know that we're capitalist, right? And restaurants and stores want to take advantage of the increased foot traffic and serve our lazy asses because no one wants to cook anymore when they're off.
That sucks. It's like we need another Labor Day for people that, like, work on Labor Day.
Yeah, isn't that the day after Labor Day when everyone goes back to work?
Whatever. I think I'm starting a movement.
Okay, of course you are. But before you do, what does learning about Labor Day have to do with being more cultured and curious?
Because I think it makes you less of an asshole. I think it's important for us to remember the historical struggles and achievements of the labor movement, which, by the way, shaped modern working conditions and social justice efforts. And not that we will get super far into it in this episode, but by understanding its origins and significance across other countries as well, we can learn more about global traditions and economic systems that will ultimately make us more empathetic humans. And that is what our podcast's about, Amanda.
All right, let's go.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Sorta Sophisticated, a podcast rooted in becoming more cultured and curious, where we endeavor to suspend judgment, expand our worldview, and learn to appreciate varying perspectives and values.
But really, it's a show where we hope to enlighten anyone who cares on topics that might make them more interesting and well-versed human, and just dangerous enough to hold their own in this sophisticated world. Sort of.
And today, we're celebrating Labor Day, people. A day dedicated to honoring hard work by, not working. It's the only holiday that paradoxically encourages you to lie on a couch, all the while saluting those who fought tooth and nail for your better working conditions. Amanda, how did we even go from, like, labor strikes to Labor Day sales? And why do we only get one day off when our ancestors fought for, like, 50 more days off each year? So sit back, relax, and let's journey into a time when people had to fight for their right to party. And our word of the day today is fusty. Our challenge is to work this word into the podcast somewhere and make it seem like we meant to.
And just for point of clarification, you did say fusty, not musty.
Fusty, with an F as in a Frank. Fusty.
Is fusty anything like musty?
Okay, so actually, people use it as a synonym to musty, but it isn't the same. Fusty means to be rigidly old-fashioned about something, like your grandma is fusty about the way she sets her dinner table.
Okay, I kind of actually like this word. Let's go. I can do it. Let's go. All right, Pete. So why don't you give us some background on how I get an extra Monday off every year, and who do I have to thank for that? Because I've honestly never thought twice about Labor Day.
Me neither, until we decided to do this episode, and I started Googling that shit.
I mean, it's fair, though, because we get a day off, and why?
What better way? Let's learn about it, people.
All right.
Let's listen to a podcast about Labor Day on Labor Day. Let's go. All right. So once upon a time, in a far-off land, somewhere during, like, the mid to late 1800s, America was a place where people, like, actually worked hard. And by hard, I mean, like, hard, Amanda. Like, eat steel and shit's crowbars. Like, hard. So picture this for a sec. 12-hour shifts, 7 days a week, no days off.
Was this the start of unions? Because I feel like that's why
unions
started. Oh,
we are so going to get there. It's not even funny. And you could forget about, like, perks and stuff. That wasn't even a thing back then. Like, free snacks, nap pods, casual Fridays. Like, what the fuck? Not even close. People were lucky if they got a short lunch break and a sip of friggin' water without getting kicked in the ass to get back to work. And Amanda, kids as young as five years old were going to work because families needed money. Sounds glorious, doesn't it? I'm not making this up. And that was only 125 years ago. Like great-grandpa days. Like four generations ago. That's, like, not really that far back.
That's crazy. And look at us now, sitting on a couch with our feet up recording a podcast. We are so freaking lazy.
I know. Tell me about it. And we think we work hard. No wonder our parents couldn't stand us. Okay. So my mom would probably be, like, laughing her ass off at me right now if she were still alive. And it's hilarious because we think like Gen Zs are a bunch of lazy asses. Like I'm already telling my kids like, you haven't worked hard a day in your life. Kill me now. I'm already turning into that guy. It's so funny. Each generation thinks that they're like the greatest generation and that each subsequent generation gets lazier and lazier.
But I mean, on some level, that's got to be a little true with all the advancements in technology and everything. But I do see your point. It's all about perspective and what your personal definition of hard work is.
Exactly. It's all about self-awareness, right? I think instead of saying someone works hard or harder than someone else, I think we need to just say that work has evolved and changed over time, and generations adapt to new ways of working, which can subsequently confuse earlier generations because the idea of work keeps getting like redefined, right?
I think that's a good way of framing it. I like that.
Yeah, so like I have to do TikToks for this thing, and like you would laugh, or I mean, certainly a Gen Xer would totally laugh at me like, oh my God, that's not hard work. Doing TikToks sucks. It's not even a fun part of the job. Like I hate that part of promoting my podcast. It takes me like an hour and a half to do one. And maybe I'm slow and I get it. But if someone is like an influencer on social media and they're actually doing that for a living, holy shit. That's like
a lot of work.
It is work.
Hard work.
And I don't think as a Gen Xer, it wasn't until recently I can appreciate how much time has to go into that, right? So anyway, okay, let's get back on track, people. So it takes a few years and all of a sudden, one day, workers look around each other all tired with their 5 o'clock shadows and like bags under their eyes like I have and say, there's got to be more to life than work and paying taxes. And drum roll me, Amanda. Welcome to the rise of labor unions. You said it earlier. Let's go. So here we go. Enter Uriah Stevens and the Knights of Labor, a group that really sounds more like some sort of medieval rock band than a labor union, right? Knights of Labor, whatever. Okay. And they decide to celebrate the first working man's holiday somewhere in like the 1870s. So that goes on for a while. But they didn't have like a super clear focus. So it grew too big for itself. And then like the whole thing collapsed because it was trying to do everything for everybody and it didn't work.
I mean, go figure.
Right. Okay. So wait. So then Peter McGuire, who is called, quote unquote, the godfather of Labor Day, hits the scene. So he's a carpenter, a freaking carpenter. What is it with history and all these damn carpenters anyway?
I mean, it's a lost trade now.
Right. He's no Jesus or anything, but he gets this brilliant idea to create the United Brotherhood of Carpenters because I guess there were no women involved in anything yet, whatever. And then he proposes the first Labor Day parade in 1882 to the Central Labor Union as a day dedicated to workers where they would gather and march around the streets instead of being stuck inside factories, I guess. With no pay, of course. So the story goes that Peter, along with 10,000 workers in tow, parade through the streets of Union Square in New York City on September 5th, 1882.
So then unions were a good thing back then?
Oh, totally. They really helped us get to where we needed to be today.
Well, yay for unions, right. I guess. Totally. For a while anyway. Now, they don't seem to be helping as much. They always come across as a little greedy to me.
Well, yeah, like all things go too far. So they totally recently have tipped the scale the wrong way, for sure.
I mean, I guess people would also argue the fact that they haven't, but...
We digress. Right. Subject for another podcast, for sure. Let's not shit on unions. I just want to say that, like, let's make sure they stay honest and ethical and actually help those needing help.
I like it.
Right. Yeah. We'll leave it there.
It's a good target.
Right. Okay, good. All right. Anyway, back on track. Back to unions. Okay. So there is a little controversy around Peter actually starting the first Labor Day.
Oh, yeah. What?
Okay. So I guess around the same time, there was another guy named Matthew McGuire. No relation to Peter McGuire. Right. So he was a machinist and a labor leader from New Jersey. And also proposed the idea of a national holiday to honor the contribution of manufacturing workers, and proposed the idea to the same group, the Central Labor Union, of which he was actually the secretary of the time. So there is some evidence to suggest he actually helped organize the first Labor Day parade on September 5th, 1882. Oh, wait, I forgot to add. Some estimates have the parade attendance as high as 25,000 people. So I know originally I said 10,000, but some estimates are as high as 25,000. And while that might not seem like a lot, you got to remember, back then, they had no Facebook, no Snap, no Instagram. Like, it was all word of mouth.
I didn't even think about that. That's crazy. And if it was 25,000, that's a massive number for sure.
Yeah. So look, one way or the other, at least we know that, like, A. McGuire is responsible for the first Labor Day parade. We're just not sure which one. But I will say, as Matthew started slipping into oblivion because he had super radical politics, Peter Maguire wasn't done yet. And he did some more shit, so just hang tight. I think that's why we sort of said Peter was like the godfather of Labor Day. So, okay, hold on. We got to go back to go forward for a second. So I guess America had already passed a law in 1868. I had to look this up for an 8-hour workday. So we're already in like 1882 having this parade. But in 1868, they had already passed a law for an 8-hour workday. Shout out to President Chester A. Arthur for signing that one. Oh, Chest, right?
I'm sorry, President who?
Chester A. Arthur. He was a cool president that started 8-hour workdays. We care about him, okay?
President of the unions?
President of the United States?
Oh.
President Arthur. Okay. All right. So Peter Maguire and the Brotherhood figure out that they're going to...
We got a president that was an Arthur?
We do. Chester A. Arthur.
Okay, we need a podcast.
Chester. Okay, we'll get there.
Okay.
So bear with me. So everybody catches wind of this, like somehow. I don't know. Pony Express. And on May 1st, 1886, 4 years after the first Labor Day parade, Amanda, 350,000 workers boycott work in 11,000 businesses around the country, which I guess in those days, you gotta imagine, that is a shitload of people. So they're 15 years after we sign this thing into law, people are like, fuck it. Like, we're taking matters into our own hand.
Because the law didn't really
take effect. Because nobody gives a shit. Right, exactly. Okay. So these were either really smart guys or really dumb guys, I'm not really sure which, who decided that they were done being treated like dog shit. So they organized strikes, parades, all this stuff, and waved some banners and probably threw a few rocks, basically demanding better working conditions, shorter hours, and a decent wage that they could finally actually live off of. I feel like that's like still happening today. Anyway, the message was simple. 8 hours for work, 8 hours for rest, 8 hours left for whatever the fuck they wanted.
Seriously? Those were the banners.
Well, not exactly, but you get the idea. 8 hours of work, 8 hours of rest. That part's true. Okay.
I mean, that's pretty ballsy when you think about it. I can't imagine all these people staring at a group of guys trying to start a movement and make change. Talk about putting your balls on the line.
I know, right? I mean, these are OG frontline guys. Absolutely. So this goes on for a few days and tensions start to build until, of course, the shit hits the fan.
What happened?
The Haymarket affair happened.
Oh, of course. The Haymarket affair. What the shit's the Haymarket affair?
Okay, wait, to be fair, it really started with the McCormick Harvesting Machine Company incident, which then led to the Haymarket affair on the next day.
Who's McCormick? What
okay,
is happening?
Okay, listen. Okay. The McCormick Harvesting Machine Company incident happened in Chicago on May 3rd, 1886. It was part of this massive walkout on businesses that started on May 1st, thanks to good old Peter Maguire. So basically, the workers striked. Would you say stroked or striked? I guess you'd have to say striked, because stroke is totally different. A bunch of workers didn't stroke out. I guess they were striking so they wouldn't stroke, right? Okay.
Again, you digress.
Yes. All right. Anyway, so the workers striked. And the popo, like the police, opened fire and totally killed two people and hurt a bunch of other people. And that, Amanda, was the catalyst for the Haymarket riot, or what's now called the Haymarket affair. Because I guess affair sounds more pleasant than riot. And that happened the following day on May 4th. For all of you playing along at home, May the 4th be with you.
Okay, I got it. But you didn't really tell us what the Haymarket affair was yet.
Yeah. So I'm getting there. So the next day, a bunch of people start parading through the streets of Chi-town with flags flying and banners waving. And they're all pissed off because of what just happened like days before. So things are sort of getting a little out of hand. I mean, people were dying, right? It got unruly. All of a sudden, some yahoo throws a bomb at the police in an act of retaliation for killing, like, their best friends, like, 2 days ago.
I mean, seriously, was it actually the guy's best friend that died?
Fuck, no. I mean, I made that up, but...
Dude, that was the most interesting part of the
story. But the story sounds good. Listen, so the bomb ends up killing 7 police officers and 4 protesters. So this is a big deal. I'm not sure, like, it was super effective, but holy shit, between the Haymarket riot and the McCormick Machine Harvesting Company incident, like, those 2 days totally sucked. All told, 13 people were dead, dozens were injured, and 8 guys were convicted of anarchism, with 7 of them being sentenced to death by hanging.
So not a good day in our nation's history.
No, it sucked. But I guess that's what you got to do to get, like, real attention. So that way we could have, like, Labor Day off each year.
That's kind of terrible.
It's totally terrible. But, I mean, we're telling the history of what really happened. So, like, we got to keep going, because history is built on the back of men and women like this. And this is why we have to keep doing this podcast, so people never, ever forget stuff like this.
I mean, it's true. I mean, just like Hiroshima, right? Like,
you got to
know.
You got to keep talking about it. You got to talk about it, right? All right, so fast forward a decade later. And Chicago is at it again. Like, yeah, everything's happening in Chicago, right?
It's always Chicago.
Right. The Pullman strike.
What's the Pullman strike?
The Pullman strike was a nationwide railroad strike, now in 1894, that began when workers at the Pullman Company protested wage cuts against increasing rents in the company-owned town of Pullman, which was just south of Chicago. So the strike escalated when the American Railway Union, the ARU, led by this guy Eugene Debs, basically refused to work the Pullman cars, effectively bringing all rail traffic to a halt across the entire country. So, of course, the government has to intervene, and they send troops to break things up and end the strike, but we've heard this song before. And the shit hits the fan again, and a bunch more people die. So now President Cleveland decides enough. Do you know President Cleveland?
No.
Okay, best friends with Chester Arthur.
Oh, okay, no. Good.
Okay, just kidding.
Was he all vice right. president?
No. What? Oh, my God. Grover Cleveland. He was like the two-term president, but like there was somebody in between him. He was the one guy who like was elected, and then like somebody else got elected, and then like Cleveland was elected again.
Clearly, I snoozed during U.S. history. You totally history. Did. Okay. So, president podcast?
Yeah. Great. Okay, we'll do a president podcast. Okay, so President Cleveland decides he's done with all this fusty thinking from old school managers of these
well
big companies.
Well played. Fusty.
You got it? Let's go. All right. So, in a stroke of political genius, or maybe just to avoid another strike, Cleveland declares Labor Day a national holiday. This finally happens in like 1894, finally giving everyone their golden ticket to rest and relaxation. And voila, the first Monday in September became a day dedicated to honoring the contributions of hardworking Americans. And it only took basically 30 years since Arthur signed the law of like death and despair to get here.
So that was it. From 1894 to today, we've celebrated Labor Day.
Yep.
Like magically, there were no other issues in the past 125 years.
Oh, God, no. There were plenty. This stuff takes like a long, long time to develop. Kind of like how we signed the Civil Rights Act in 1964. And here we are literally 60 years later still figuring it out. You with me?
Yep. Good point.
Basically, you had the coal wars that ran from the 1890s to the 1930s. Where coal miners protested against businesses, particularly in the Appalachia area. Yeah, totally. In fact, the Battle of Blair Mountain in 1921 was the largest armed uprising in U.S. history after the Civil War, when 10,000 armed coal miners fought against 3,000 policemen and a whole friggin' bunch of people died.
Why are we always like with the angry and dying and
right. This is what we had to do to get here, Amanda.
I guess.
It's America has a really dark history. I mean, I'm sure like a ton of countries do. It's like real stuff. We just don't want to talk about it anymore. Nobody like who's going to remember the Battle of Blair Mountain unless they were in it or you have like an ancestor in it.
Fair.
Right?
And I do think we need to talk about it.
We do.
We need to learn from history cuz history repeats itself.
It was the biggest uprising since the Civil War. It's huge. Okay, then you had the Great Steel Strike of 1919, where 350,000 steelworkers fought against lawmen for better wages and working conditions. Then you had the San Francisco General Strike of 1934, where longshoremen and the maritime workers protested for 83 days for better wages and working conditions that ended in Bloody Thursday, where two protesters were killed by police. And to finally round out the 1930s, well, not finally, but I got most of the big stuff. You had the Memorial Day Massacre in 1937, where in Chicago, police fired and shot at some steelworkers and their families, killing 10 people during what was supposed to be a peaceful protest.
Oh, again, with Chicago.
Yeah, it's always tie-town. Oh, and you also had in Flint, Michigan, the sit-down strike by the U.S. auto workers against General Motors that same year. I don't think anybody died, but that was like a big one for sure. So then fast forward to 1968. You had the sanitation workers' strike in Memphis, Tennessee, as part of the Civil Rights Movement, supported by none other than Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And don't forget the Occupy Wall Street movement on September 5th, 2011, in New York City, where protesters were demanding economic reforms and greater social equality. And finally, even in 2020, Black Lives Matter, after the killing of George Floyd, demonstrators fought to highlight racial injustice and police brutality. But people don't remember, they linked that fight for racial equality with labor rights as well. And today, folks continue to push the boundaries to ensure we have fair pay and fair working conditions and are still fighting for increasing minimum wage or shifting to a four-day work week. So the show must go on. Am I right?
I guess you are. And thanks for that history lesson. But I never knew it was so violent. And truth be told, I never really thought about it. I do love that we do this because it helps me appreciate other people's struggles and how far we've come. But do you think this was just an American thing, or do you think this stuff happened all over the world too? I would like to assume other countries have had similar struggles, no?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Totally. You're right. A ton of other countries around the world celebrate some version of Labor Day, but it's usually called something different, like International Workers' Day, or you'll hear the term May Day. And while the U.S. celebrates Labor Day on the first Monday of September, most countries observe it on May 1st. So England, Germany, France, Italy, China, Spain, India, Brazil, you get the idea. They all celebrate May Day on May 1st. Canada is like us, and they celebrate Labor Day on the first Monday in September. Go Canada. Then you got Australia and New Zealand in October, and Japan in November. So all these countries celebrate in order to honor the contributions of workers and the labor movement in their respective societies. These observances acknowledge the historical struggles and achievements of workers in securing better working conditions, fair wages, and the 8-hour workday. Labor Day celebrations serve as reminders of social progress. They also provide an opportunity to reflect on the ongoing issues related to workers' rights and to advocate for continued improvements in working conditions worldwide.
Now, Pete, you've mentioned May Day a few times. So tell me, what's the difference between Labor Day and May Day?
Good question. I had to look this one up. It's a little nuancy, but bear with me. In the United States, Labor Day honors the contributions and achievements of American workers and serves as a day of rest and recognition of labor's role in society. May Day, on the other hand, or what you would call International Workers' Day, observed on May 1st, and is not celebrated in the U.S., although I'm sure some people do, has more of a global significance as a day for labor activism and solidarity. That's rooted in the struggles for workers' rights and specifically around the 8-hour workday.
So in a perfect American fashion, we just do it differently.
Oh, totally. Just like the metric system versus the imperial system. We're just stupid.
But are we stupid, or are we just being a little fusty?
Oh my God. That's hysterical. You just nailed it.
I mean, you nailed it earlier.
I know, but
really
fusty
matter.
Or not, sister, I think we're a little stupid about our whole measurement system here in America.
Well, one thing we aren't stupid about
is that we did fusty twice.
Twice.
We did.
And I'm hoping you got some fun facts. Are we ready? Can we get the show on the road? That's my favorite part of the episode.
Let's go fun facts. I was totally getting tired of all this history mumbo jumbo. There was a lot of history today, wasn't there?
There's a lot of history, but it's good because I knew probably zero of it.
All right, good. That makes me feel good. At least I'm glad our podcast episode is me doing some research and then our one listener and co-host learning something. This is fantastic.
I mean, hey.
Woo! All right, let's go.
I bet you learned something too.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Don't
lie. It's fantastic. I love looking this stuff up. Okay. All right, like fun fact. Let's go. Number one, let's start with unions because labor and unions, let's be honest, they go together like peanut butter and jelly. So according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, there are 14.8 million union members in the workforce today. Well, at least last year anyway. But that stat is actually trending down, Amanda. 40 years ago, there were more than 18 million union members. Now that more labor laws are in place, I guess we need less, like unions less? I don't know. Like 4 million less people. That's like, I don't know, was that 20%?
I don't know how many people Elon Musk hires, but they don't got a union.
They ain't union, baby. Okay. Number two, speaking of unions, do you know which is the biggest union today?
I don't know, but if I had to guess, I'm going to go teachers union.
Oh my God. You nailed it.
I mean, there's just a lot of teachers.
Yes. The National Education Association has about 3 million members still fighting for their rights to get paid more and get longer summers off.
I mean, that sucks, but I don't think they're going to get longer summers because of the whole
push for
testing and, you know, all the funding is based
off of
your testing.
You know what they want? They want from Memorial Day to Labor Day. That's what they want.
Wow.
I know, but they're not getting it. All right, fun fact three. Did you know it's a fashion faux pas to wear white after Labor Day?
Yes, everybody knows that.
Oh, okay, so crap. So I didn't. But do you know where it comes from?
No. That part I don't.
Okay. Listen, the tradition goes back to the Victorian era, where it was considered inappropriate to wear any white clothing after summer officially ended. But good news, the tradition really isn't followed anymore. But the initial logic behind the fashion trend was that white indicated you were still in vacation mode at your summer cottage or something, I guess.
I'm just going to wear white all the time, so I can be in vacay mode.
I just want to wear my white jeans
all the time.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. Okay. Number four. Labor Day is the official end to the hot dog season. The National Hot Dog and Sausage Council. I can't believe I'm saying that out loud and that a council like that even exists. But it says that between Memorial Day and Labor Day, Amanda, ready? Americans eat 7.4 billion hot dogs.
That's a lot. Billion with a B.
I know.
That's
right.
Disgusting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think Joey Chestnut eats like 3 million of those on July 4th.
Probably.
Yes.
But how many do they eat the other 9 months then?
Oh, I don't know. Like maybe like 12. Okay, just kidding. Okay. Around 10 billion.
That's still a lot of hot dogs.
Yeah, but wait. That's like a billion a month all year. And it goes up to like 2.5 billion a month in the summer. So that's like a really big jump. It's huge.
Disgustingly big.
Oh, it's gross. Right. Okay. Number five. Labor Day is considered the unofficial kickoff to the NFL season. Bum, bum, bum. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. The NFL plays its first official game of the season the Thursday after Labor Day.
Fantasy football. Here we go.
Let's go. Here it is. Did you already pick your team? Do you have a team?
No.
You don't?
Is
Trent?
No.
I'm in two leagues.
Are you?
Let's go.
You play fantasy?
I do. I do.
What?
I'm totally in. Let's go. I love it. I've been playing for like 25 years.
No.
Yes.
Wow.
Why is that fascinating to you? Why is that the neatest thing on the podcast episode? All right. Okay. All right. Number six. Did you know the first Waffle House opened on Labor Day?
The Waffle House. Go figure.
Right. So I don't know. In 1955, in Avondale Estates, Georgia, the very first Waffle House opened its doors to the public to a huge crowd of just 3 fat people. 3. That's who was waiting outside.
That's so random.
And speaking of Labor Day, did you know that thousands of expectant moms will go into labor on Labor Day? Typically, about 10,000 babies are born each year in the United States on Labor Day, according to the U.S. Center of Disease Control and Prevention. I'm not sure why the Center for Disease Control keeps this stat, but oh well. I would think some sort of like American Association of Live Births or something would keep that stat. Whatever.
You want to know another fun fact?
Well, give it to me. Let's go.
Like, Addie is one of these 10,000 babies born on Labor Day.
Are you kidding me?
Go figure. Super random.
Seriously? Is that why you thought Labor Day was like day where mothers labor?
Yep.
Oh,
sure
my God.
Was.
No way.
I thought it was a day for me, laboring mothers.
First of all, okay, you know what? It is. It is your official day from now on. I didn't know that. That's so cool. All right. Number eight. Did you know that labor has an official mascot?
A mascot.
Yeah, total mascot. Yes. Rosie the Riveter. That hot looking woman with the bandana on her head, flexing her muscles, you see on tattoos like all the time.
I've totally seen this.
You've seen this?
Yeah.
Okay. She's awesome. Like, do you know why she's the mascot of labor?
Well, no. Sure don't.
Because she was a symbol of feminism and a morale booster for the women working in the factories during World War II. Artist J. Howard Miller designed the famous Rosie, and she has stood the test of time as an iconic inspiration.
I mean, she's pretty badass.
Oh, totally. One of my total like coworkers for like 25 years has this tattoo on her right arm, and it is awesome. It is awesome, and I love it. And she shows me it all the time. It's totally cool. And finally, Labor Day weekend is considered the busiest weekend to travel by car. AAA says that last year, over 36 million people hit the road to get out of Dodge. That is more than 10% of all Americans. On the road, that's a lot of people.
Another fun fact?
What?
We are always on the road during Labor Day.
You're in it. I am not. So what are you going to do? All right. That's all I got. Another successful round of fun facts down the drain.
I love fun facts so much. Thanks. Appreciate it. But I do have one question. Who knew that there were actually so many fun facts about Labor Day?
I know, right?
Like, I really was expecting you to have like 2.
Listen, I am a miner. I dig deep. I mean, I bring my shovel. I'm like digging rock layers and I'm looking. This is not easy stuff. I got to do some serious sleuthing for you.
You did a really good job.
Thank you.
I'm impressed.
Thank you. All right.
So do you got any last minute things you forgot that you want to share, or should we call time of death?
Oh, no. Call it. It's all I got. Let's get ready to party our butts off on a Monday.
Let's go. I would say barbecue at my place, but I probably won't be home.
No, you'll be traveling. apparently, you'll be traveling.
So barbecue your place.
Watch gas prices are going to go up on purpose.
No, that's why you fill up before.
I know. Go do it right now.
Or have an EV car. One of the two.
Yeah.
All right. So basically, if my notes are correct, Labor Day was invented to serve as a platform of sorts, right, for protests, not just in America, but really worldwide, reflecting workers' ongoing struggles and demands for rights, equality, and justice.
So far, so good. You was listening, weren't you?
I mean, I totally did try to this time because it was pretty fascinating. But these protests, which continue even today, highlight critical issues that resonate with broader social movements, making Labor Day a significant occasion for activism and change, kind of forever, really.
That's the point.
But nowadays, Labor Day is celebrated with less marching and more barbecuing. It's more of a time for sales, shopping, and saying goodbye to summer.
It is, and we should appreciate it, but we should also take a few minutes to think about it.
Right. So while you're enjoying that extra day off this year, remember all the brave souls who fought for your right to kick back, relax, and enjoy a well-deserved break from the daily grind.
Amen.
And after all, they worked hard for you to play so hard. So give me what I need to know at my barbecue at your house to show off what I learned.
Whatever. Fine. All right. Barbecue at my house, people. First, I guess, before we actually light up the barbecue or crack the beer on Monday, let's maybe be intentional and take 10 minutes sometime during the day to think about those who came before us and paved the way for our current working conditions, and maybe even a prayer for those who lost their lives fighting for the cause. I probably named more than, 1,000 people that died. I mean, I'm sure there was more than that, but even in this podcast episode, at least 1,000 people probably perished in just what we were talking about. Then next, you should probably watch Horrible Bosses with Jason Bateman, Jason Sudeikis, and Charlie Day. Have you seen this?
No.
No. Okay. Not because it's about Labor Day or anything, just because it's hysterical. And it has to do with working at jobs they hate because they hate their bosses.
Oh, I mean, so I like those three actors. I'm going to watch it.
Oh, no. It is absolutely hysterical. Total good homework for you. Then after memorizing this entire podcast episode, you're all set to spend the day flexing on your friends and family on the origins of Labor Day and some fun facts to boot. If you can't remember anything we talked about today, just be sure to share these interesting and relevant details to seem sort of sophisticated. The first Labor Day was celebrated on September 5th, 1882, in New York City. Organized by the Central Labor Union, it was a day of honor to celebrate the contributions of American workers, and it was either started by Peter McGuire or Matthew McGuire. Just say McGuire, and you're safe. Number two, even though President Chester Arthur, Amanda, signed the law in 1868 establishing an 8-hour workday, it didn't really stick. It wasn't until Grover Cleveland declared Labor Day a national holiday in 1894 that things started to stick, at least a little. Number three, over the years, Labor Day has become known as a cultural marker of sorts, marking the unofficial end of summer in the United States and the last long weekend before the fall season begins. Number four, don't confuse Labor Day with International Workers' Day. While Labor Day in the U.S. is celebrated in September, many other countries observe a similar holiday on May 1st known as International Workers' Day or May Day. In America, this date commemorates the Haymarket Affair, which was a very pivotal event in the fight for the 8-hour workday. And finally, Labor Day continues to play an important role in advancing labor reforms. From wage gaps to job security, workers' rights continue to be a relevant topic of discussion in the United States for all those who continue to labor and contribute to our mighty workforce.
And there you have it, dear listeners. Labor Day, the holiday where we honor those who fought for our right to clock out early and ironically spend the day doing anything but laboring.
Except you, when you were having your oldest.
Touché. Touché. Mm-hmm. So next time you're lounging by the pool with a cold drink in hand, remember you're really celebrating the hard-won victories of some seriously determined folks who thought working 12-hour shifts 6 days a week was just a bit too much. Cheers to them, and cheers to you for sticking around to hear the story. Now go enjoy that well-earned day off. Just don't tell your boss where you got the idea from. We'd like to think we've shared just enough information to make you either a flaming nuisance or a little more sophisticated to your fellow humans. Sort of. Remember, folks, whether you're working a night shift at the hospital or the morning shift at IHOP, put that AirPod in your ear and keep listening to this podcast.
Let's go.
If you enjoyed this episode and found it particularly interesting, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share with your peeps. Until next time, stay industrious and stay determined.